At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I am the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, on this lovely Friday afternoon, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation, Chris Bisignano. Chris, our sponsor, the Media Captain, records a weekly podcast. After you get your Giants fix, folks, by listening to us, of course, if you want to learn more about entrepreneurship and what it takes to start a business, along with the latest and greatest online and digital trends, check out the Media Captain's podcast on Apple, iTunes, and all the major podcast outlets. Again, that's the Media Captain podcast. His Twitter account is at the Media Captain. So, dude, before we get started, I know I mention this all the time, but I can't get over our iTunes reviews. And I texted you about it. Like, it's the things people say are incredible. And I know everybody's tired of hearing it probably, but before we even start, I just want to thank everybody again because it's overwhelming. It seems like I look every day and there's four more that pop up. And, you know, I message them to Chris and then Chris is like, yep, yeah. Saw it already. So,
but yeah, no, it's crazy. And it's amazing, Jerry. People just not put, they're just not putting, hey guys, nice job, period.
Yeah, right.
It's like stories that they're putting writing in there. It's really nice, man.
Yeah, like the one guy's like, I don't rate anything, but here goes. And then they put in these personal stories. It's like awesome.
Yeah, it's really humbling, man. It really is. I'm glad. Listen, I'm really happy, Jerry, that people like what me and you are doing on this podcast, you know?
Yep.
I'm happy, man. Me and Jerry are always going to say like it is. Yeah, we're Giant fans, but we're going to say it like it is. And people seem to appreciate that, you know? I think people seem to appreciate, Jerry, that we just don't have an agenda. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right.
We don't have an agenda, you know? And folks, you know, we're just not going to just say things to stir up people. You know, we're fortunate enough to have a lot of followers. And you know, when we don't have 2,000 followers, we're going to make up crap just to try to get followers and all that nonsense, you know? I think people still to this day, Jerry, even the age of social media and all the fake crap that goes on and cable outlets, I think I will always believe this, Jerry, that people appreciate honesty.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's a segment of today's society that thrives on crap. I never will. I know you never will. So I think people still will and always will, Jerry, appreciate honesty and a little humility. And that's where we're coming from. And I'm glad a lot of people like it, bud.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only agenda is how do we make this entertaining every 2 days or every 3 days, whatever it is.
Right? People want it 4 or 5 days a week.
Right, and it's like, wow. Like I even just talked to you today. I'm like, well, no OTA, so we'll talk about position battles and things like that. But it's like
the only agenda
is for 45 minutes. I just want to make sure it's as entertaining as the last one. That's it.
Yeah, and you know what, Jerry? People are entertained by what? By us talking true Giant football.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what they're tuning in for. You know, they don't want to hear about oil tankers getting blown up in gulfs, and they want to talk about Giant football
or our political thoughts. They don't want to hear us. You know, sports.
No, I'm not even getting involved in that nonsense. I'm only worried about when Daniel Jones works out. That's what I'm worried about. You know.
So
here we are.
Yeah, speaking of that, a lot more chatter. You know, and after these OTAs, I am so happy that it seems like I'm on the path of eating major crow about this kid. And I will eat it with milk, soda, beer, vodka, whatever you want me to eat it with. But that night that I left the draft like a 4-year-old, this is why you shouldn't do things like that. And I remind myself all the time, I'm never going to learn. I'm 44. But man, the buzz around him is legit, and it's exciting, man. It really is.
Yeah, it is, and it should be. Like, you know, we've reported numerous times. You know, the kid seems to have a pretty good, you know, feel of what's going on playbook wise. Seems to have a lot of talent. A great kid, you know. So we'll see. You know, next step is going to be for him. Is going to be training camp. And then we'll find out where he's at. You know, when he starts facing teams. I don't have the first preseason date in front of me. I'm sorry, but whoever that first game is, you know, he'll get some action snaps, and you know, and that's going to be the learning, you know, next learning step for him, man. And hopefully it leads to Jerry. Hopefully it leads to where he's up and ready to roll by September 5th. Is it Jerry opening game against Dallas?
Yeah.
Where he is the number two quarterback. That is the goal right now. I know a lot of people want him to be the number one quarterback opening game. That's not going to happen, but you want him ready to go, right, bud, for the season.
Yeah, the first preseason game is the Jets this year.
Is it, Jerry?
Yeah, 8-8. Yeah, it's
six. Oh, it's not the third game anymore. That's right, right?
Yeah, okay. Well, I think it's because they play each other too, right?
Is that right, right, right. That's what put a little wrinkle in there, right? Okay.
And then they finish up against the Patriots like they do every year. So it's Jets week one, Bears two, Bengals three, Patriots four, and then okay. Cowboys. No, the Cowboys are September 8th. But
I'm sorry. Oh, the 5th is that Thursday night, right? Okay, that's the opening. Okay, so, he'll get action against the Jets, and we'll take it from there. You know, that's where he starts to gets the ball rolling, man. We'll see.
Yeah, a lot of exciting things.
He'll have no chance, Jerry, against the greatest defensive coordinator in the history of the game, Greg Williams.
Yeah, who now says character matters. Oh, that's weird, Greg. Character, huh?
Okay. Culture is more important than strategy.
Yeah, that's what it was, culture, not character. I'm sorry.
Yeah, culture is more important than strategy. Okay, Greg. Well, culture is important, but guess what? So is X's and O's there, Greg.
It's a little weird that he would say that, though, no?
Yeah. Well, he's a very unique guy, Greg Williams.
Holy
crap. He does the same thing every year. Every team he goes to, Jerry, it's the same act. He goes in there. Everybody loves him. You know, he's intense. He's screaming. He's mother effing this, mother effing that. You know, the players want to run through a wall for him. And then you see the defense drop. By the fourth game on, the defensive totals drop like they do every year. Because Greg Williams is one of those guys, not to get off a ramp, but he, no matter what corners he has, he's going to do what he has to do. Yeah. He's going to blitz. He's going to do this. And, you know, but it's going to be interesting over there, but that's their problem.
So you tweeted earlier, only two Giant rookies that we drafted remain unsigned, the X-Man and Daniel Jones. So good job by Gettleman getting everybody else signed, huh?
Yeah. I expect Jones to be the last, but, you know, with this rookie scale, it's going to happen. Sometimes just some wrinkles have to be ironed out. You know, I expect him in before. Probably Jones will get inked up right before the first day of training camp. You know,
yeah,
I don't see
him holding out.
No. You know, sometimes you have some, you know, language in contracts, Jerry, that need to be ironed out.
Yeah.
Like it happened to Sam Darnold last year with the Jets. He came in a couple of days late, if I remember right.
That's right.
And there was just some little things that have to get ironed out, you know, and that's what will happen with Jones. I'm not saying he's going to be late, but I'm sure it'll come up to the training camp date, maybe sooner, hopefully, you know, and that'll be – I expect the X-Man. He's a third-round pick. That's all pay scale stuff, and that all gets worked out pretty quick. That's what's great now, Jerry, about the rookie pay scales that
I was going to say, even the first round's kind of set in stone almost, right? Once the four and five are signed, it's like, okay, here comes six.
Right. It just depends where you get drafted. And then, you know, like Barkley with his numbers last year, and then this year the sixth pick gets their certain amount of money and the guys, and you know, so it'll all work out pretty quick.
Yeah, looking forward to all this, man. It's June 14th. We're about a month and a half away from training camp.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I sent out the questions tweet earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I put tweet in capital letters. Tweet is on my mind because I always say email. Send in your Twitter questions by responding to this email I usually write.
So you're being a wise guy to the Twitter followers?
No, I'm letting everyone know that I'm getting it right now and I'm not that stupid. And but 60,
you know what?
60 responses, by the way. 60 responses this morning.
You know, I wish your dog could read.
I know.
Where she could say, you know what, Jerry? You're an idiot.
Well, someone sent out the I don't know. There was some tweet about dogs earlier, and I sent back my picture, and someone wrote, "Which one's the stupid one, Jerry?" And I'm like, "Oh, look at you! Nice, nice job." Some people listen to us, huh? So
yeah, I think somebody's being a wise guy because Jerry, why don't you be quiet with that? I think that's what they're trying to say.
Yep. So, like I said, we got
no. I guess not.
We have about 60 responses. Not all of them are questions, but I was going to get into something else.
You know what, Jerry? There's Jones.
Yeah.
There's Eli. And you know what? Let's talk about the other two quarterbacks going into camp next month.
Yeah.
How you feel about it. I've mentioned before that Tanny's looked really good in this whole season.
Well, that was a question. So whoever asked that, we're gonna skip your question because we're gonna get to it now.
Right.
I was looking at it before, so I apologize. So basically, we're answering your question now, but go ahead, Chris.
So we kind of brought up the last podcast about, I think they're going to go with three, and you feel they could go with two. And I was talking, you know, the guy who covers the Giants for the, you know, Paul DeTino about it, and he thinks, hey, don't be surprised they go with two. Also, I know you said, hey, Chris, that's possible. I could see that. I really didn't see that. And I started thinking about it. I said, okay, I guess it is possible. You know, so Jerry, let's just for argument's sake, bud. They go with three like they did last season. Obviously, Eli and Jones. And then it comes down to Tanny and Laletta. Your feelings about who survives that?
I don't even think it's close. the only more obvious answer to any question pertaining to the Giants is who is the starting running back? Like, that's it. If you asked me Tanny or Laletta right now, I mean Alex Tanny makes the team, Kyle Laletta gets cut. That's it. It's over. I don't even think it's close.
I agree with you. I thought giving Tanny that 2-year deal, like $1 million per or whatever it was, right around those numbers, kind of said something how much Sherman feels comfortable with him as a backup, you know?
And how aggravated were Giant fans when not a fickle fan base. We're an angry fan base right now because of the non-playoff seasons. Mm-hmm. Even the slightest news like that aggravated almost everybody. Like, oh, I guess we're not going quarterback. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, I think it was a telltale sign last season when Tanny dressed for most of the games.
Yeah.
Not Laletta, right?
And we all thought, a lot of people thought Shermer was being just stubborn, but he does like him better.
Yeah, you know, he does like Tanny as a backup. You know, trust me on this. He does like him. And I'm not saying he doesn't like Laletta. I'm just saying that he does feel comfortable with Tanny. Don't forget, Tanny has been around a little bit. You know, he's been with about five teams, whatever it's been. So he's got a little experience in that quarterback room. Not much experience on the field, but I tell you, Jerry, it's going to be interesting. If he keeps two, obviously there's the answer to everything. If he keeps three, does Tanny beat the fourth round draft pick of 2018? You know,
I
agree with you, bud. If you right now, if you say Chris, who are you going with? I'm going with Tanny.
Yeah, but I could also see Laletta getting cut and getting picked up by like a Patriots or someone like that. And,
sure.
And Belichick giving him a flyer, and supposedly they were high on him. There were a few teams that were high on him. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like, you know, based on what you heard last year, right? It was the speeding incident. But then what came out of that was, well, this wasn't the first time. And you're thinking, oh, no, what's wrong with what's really this kid? So it seems like it's more than just, you know, the one incident last year. And then he goes in the game and he's 0-for-5 with two interceptions or whatever, or one interception, whatever it was. And you felt like when Shermer was in the presser that day, it was at the Redskins game. He was like, well, you saw Laletta, right? Like, and everybody was just kind of quiet. Yeah. I don't even think right now, unless Alex Tanny gets some kind of injury, hopefully he doesn't. I don't even think it's close. I think Tanny is the guy who sticks and Laletta goes.
As of right now, I'm going to agree with you, Jerry. But I could say this, Jerry, that Laletta, supposedly what I'm hearing out of the building, has really worked his butt off this offseason. He bought an alarm clock and decided to actually come in on time.
Nice.
The building, you know. I guess maybe he, you know, disregarded the memo that he had John Elway type status where he could just stroll in around, you know, 7 a.m. I'm good. I'm here. You know,
unbelievable.
But he's a great, listen, he's not a bad kid. He's a really good kid, but I think he had to adjust to the NFL life a little bit last season. And from what I understand, he has, and he's really worked his butt off, and he's looked somewhat decent in these practices at times, and we'll see how it plays out. But right now, I would say Tanny, man. I would say Tanny.
Yeah, then I know that it's very early, and he hasn't really played much, but then if they like Dungy, what do they do with him? He's just somebody who doesn't dress every week, what?
Yeah, well, he's going to be a practice squad player. We'll see what he do. You know, he's going to work out the tight ends.
Yeah,
and he's going to be a little of a project. You know, maybe as a a wildcat type kid. You know, something like the Saints did. And we'll see. But you know what, Jerry, I can't even say right now. The kid hasn't been on the field.
I know. Hopefully, one of the free agents that we were all high on. But yeah, he hasn't gotten out there yet.
Yeah, you know, he's got a little bit of a back issue, and you know, we'll see if he's supposedly going to be healthy for training camp, and then we could take it from there. We'll see what Sherman's, you know, what he has him doing in training camp, how he looks, what packages he's in, and all that. You know, couldn't tell you right now. He's been riding a bike on the side.
Yeah, yeah. You just wonder where they're going to squeeze him if they want to keep him. So,
yeah.
Anything else you want to cover before we get to the questions? We're 15 minutes in.
No. I think we're good.
All right, buddy.
You said there's a lot of questions, so I guess we start rolling with that.
Yeah, there's a lot. Some of them, again, hilarious, very creative guys. Thank you. We're going to start off with a very creative one from Javier Burgos, a Buffoon crew member. Excuse me. Very hypothetical question for both of you. If you were drafted by the Eagles in the first round, as passionate Giants fans that you are, would you ask for a trade or retire, or would you take the money and play for the dark side, hashtag Buffoon Crew? I'll take that first if you want.
Good.
If I was drafted in the first round, Javier, that means I'm good enough to play for almost any team. So I would pull an Eli Manning or a John Elway or a Bo Jackson, because Bo Jackson did it as well with Tampa. People forget. If he was going to get drafted by the Buccaneers, he wasn't going to play. He was going to play baseball. So I would do that. I would pull a, I'm not playing here. I don't like it. And I would have Philly boo me all the time, and I don't care. They boo me already. I would totally not play for them. However, if I was a seventh-round pick or a free agent scraping along, trying to make a team and the Eagles pick me up, I would choose another profession. Boom. So, no, I wouldn't play for them under any circumstances. Go ahead, Chris.
I would play with the team that drafted me.
I knew you would, because that's the right thing to do. It's the mature thing.
No, not necessarily the right thing, but that's what I would do.
No, it's a very mature
thing. I would be like, thank you for drafting me. I'm fortunate to be number one pick, and even though I hated this organization growing up, I'm going to have to play with them.
Yeah, not me. So, there you have it. Our girl Lisa at So Bad Six. From which group are you hoping to see the most improvement from this year? And which group do you think is the most improved? You guys are the best. Thanks, Lisa. So go ahead, Chris. So which group are you hoping to see the most improvement? And then which group do you think is the most improved?
I'm hoping to see the secondary and the offensive line is the most improvement. Those two.
Hopefully. Yeah, I think.
Right now, you know, no pads, shorts, the secondary is the most improved.
Backup quarterback is the most improved. That's an easy one, right?
Backup quarterback. Hopefully, yeah.
That was a good one. Nice. Making myself a point.
I didn't even think of that one.
I would hope the offensive line. I mean, that's the one. I think it's funny. With all the draft picks we took for the secondary, you would think by default they're just going to be better. You're hoping both are, like you said. But I would hope that the offensive line. I'm a little nervous about Nate Solder not getting out there yet, to be honest with you. So.
Yeah, rightfully so.
New York Giants, France. Nice. Overseas. How would you rank NFC's teams from what you've seen so far?
Who's on me? I'll take it first.
Yep. Yeah, go ahead.
How would I rank NFC East team? I would have Dallas right now in front, number one. Eagles, I guess, and us, and then the Redskins.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to flip the top two that you'd named. Kills me. That team across the river, then the team with the star on their helmets.
But that team across the river is not going to have that good a year that people think they are.
I hope you're so right, Chris. And then Us and then the Redskins. I think the Redskins are going to be terrible. So
okay. No, they got the best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, no, they have a better quarterback than Eli Manning, according to Nate Burleson, remember?
Right.
Tim Coffey at Jug Big T. Tim Coffey, who has a lot of things to say to us a lot of times. A lot of little snark, but thanks for listening, buddy. Jerry, Chris, how the hell do you sift through this stuff every week? I've made it like 6 questions, having fun and making myself giggle. I'm already annoyed. God bless you, Giants. It's fun, man. You know, it's the off season, so you're trying to find any news you can to talk about and see, and not overblow anything like the significance of signing Dexter Lawrence today. Well, okay, they're going to all fall in line. But, yeah, I mean, we just love doing this, Tim. It's a fun time. It's like 2 guys talking at the bar. So,
yeah, it's not annoying. These questions aren't annoying at all. We like them.
Yeah. Good stuff,
buddy. Tim, you know, you could be a little snark in your tweets. so it doesn't surprise me that Twitter questions would annoy you.
Nice, Chris. There you go. I'm sure we're going to hear from him. Vin at Chipped Tufus. Good morning, fellas. Well, good afternoon. If you have the time to spare, he sent it this morning. That's fine. If you have the time to spare, what's your post minicamp final 53? Yeah, bud. Ask us again in August.
Yeah, I'm not even going there yet, bud.
But thanks for chiming in as always, buddy. You're the man. Tom at TomLab66, another one who writes a new iTunes dissertation every week. Thank you, buddy. Love it. Love it when my phone is blowing up during OTAs and training camp. Great job, Chris. See, Chris, told you. What happened to
Thank you.
To rookie linebacker Ryan Connolly? There wasn't much information on him at the end. I'll start walking as I listen to your rant. Hashtag buffoon crew. Yeah, we didn't hear about him this time around as much. I mean, I didn't know if.
No, he was he was with the twos and the threes. But there's only so much you could really, tell. You could tell some coverage out of the backfield like that. But he's looked pretty good. I mean, from the limited things that they're doing out there, he's looked pretty good. Like I said, in my opinion, right now, Tate Davis, Goodson, and you're going to see Connolly getting reps too. Not necessarily the ones, but you're going to see him in that mix. And then he might earn his way up to getting some one reps when training camp starts. I really believe he's going to be in the middle. They're going to give him a hard look and for this inside linebacker position. The kid's got some talent, man.
And just to prove the point that I said before, that guy Tim responded to Tom saying, Gettleman sent Connolly out to get coffees and he got distracted by Jets practice because so many footballs are hitting the ground. All right, Tim, thanks.
Like I just said.
Elroy Jetson. Hey, nice. A question from outer space. Reese was criticized for his drafts and his lack of solid players. He could find stars like OBJ and Collins, but missed on players who improved over time. Would you attribute the development of players like Carter, RJ McIntosh, Darius Slayton to drafting or player development? So it's actually a great question, Elroy Jetson, if that's your real name. I think Gettleman seems to take, and it's only been 2 drafts, but when you take Barkley and Hernandez and you take Jones and Dexter Lawrence, you're taking and DeAndre Baker. You're taking highly polished college players who can come in and play right away, I think. Again, Daniel Jones is the exception because of Eli there. But I think you're taking guys that can jump right in and play. I think the development is with guys in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and so on. And that's the MO, I think, at least, that Gettleman's taking. Maybe you disagree, Chris, but it seems like that's where he's not doing what Reese did, where Reese is taking guys like Clint Sintem in the 2nd round. Even Eric Flowers wasn't fully developed. The scouting report on Flowers was that he has the ability, but he's not polished, right? So Reese took flyers on these guys early, whereas Gettleman seems to take guys that are much safer early on. That's what I think.
Yeah, from big-time programs too, it seems that way. It's like a different philosophy too, Jerry. Like Reese liked to take a lot of those projects,
Ramsey's Barden.
Right. He liked to build from the outside going in. And like you just said, Gettleman likes those big-time programs safer. And he likes to go from the inside out, which he should be building, that even that, you know, even the Jets' new general manager, Joe Douglas from the Eagles, said the other day, he goes, we want to build the offensive line, defensive line, and impose our will on people. That's Gettleman's philosophy.
And by the way, just for Jet fans, who, if any of you listen, if Joe Douglas works out for you and you took a vital piece away from the Eagles, thank you. It's the last time I'll say that. But I was kind of happy at that news when I heard it. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I don't like the Jets. No one's here Jets fans, but the alternative is Joe Douglas staying with the Eagles and making them better. Chris, I was going to say, you brought up a good point with Reese. I actually think in 07 and 08, he did exactly what Gettleman did. He took Ross, Steve Smith, and I'm trying to think about these picks. It was Ross and Steve Smith in the first two rounds, big programs, right? Texas, USC. In 2008, he took, I think it was Kenny Phillips, Terrell Thomas, and then Manningham, right? So
Miami, USC, and Michigan.
Yeah. Right. So in those drafts, he kind of did that. And then in 09, Hakeem Nicks, you know, great pick. And then it went Will Beatty, Connecticut. Okay. Clint Sinton. You know, big-time programs, but these guys were more projects. Travis Beckham, Ramses Barden was in that draft.
Yeah, and Jerry, just for the record, I can see people saying, well, X-Man is from...
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Old Dominion. Okay. But the Giants do not look at him as a project, Jerry.
Right.
Right. The Giants think they have an established, they think they got a steal with this kid. They think they have a bona fide pass rusher off that edge. So where other draft picks that Reese did over the years was sort of like projects, right?
Yep. And I was going to say to your point, he was the fourth pick in this draft, not the second, right? So the Giants already had three first-round picks that they used.
Right.
So I'm even going to give Gettleman the benefit of the doubt. If you're going to take a project in the third round, I don't care because you already took three guys ahead of them.
Right. And you know, they don't you know, look at this kid as a project, Jerry. They think this kid is legit. Right. You know, where there was so many of those, you know, nonsense project crap that Reese drafted, you know, where Gettleman doesn't seem to do that. You know, Gettleman doesn't like that project nonsense. You know what I mean? He wants like what he perceives to be established kids that could come in and help you. You know what I mean? So
Elroy Jetson with the question of the night. Nice job, buddy.
Yeah. Good job.
Zach Mahoney at Zach_Mahoney2. Do you think Betcher is on the hot seat this year after a mediocre first year? Or do you think Pat Shurmur realizes Betcher did not have all the tools to execute the defense the way his scheme was designed? Go ahead, Chris.
No, he is not on a hot seat. Listen, I understand. I was disappointed in some things Betcher did last year, but if you look at the talent level on the defense, you know, he just didn't have the pieces that Betcher, you know, to do things that Betcher wanted to do. You know what I mean? No, Betcher's not on a hot seat. They think very highly of him. Now, Jerry, Gettleman's getting some pieces in here for this guy. Okay?
Yeah.
The defensive line. He got a Carter last year. He brought in Golden, his guy, the X-Man, you know, and now he rebuilt the secondary, right?
Yep.
Via, you know, the draft and all that, right? So, you know, he's going to have to progress, Betcher, this year. He's going to have to progress. For him to be on a hot seat next December, these kids are going to have to be healthy, playing pretty good, and the defense is underachieving. Then you can start talking about a hot seat with Betcher.
Yeah, I think especially when you look at the cornerbacks we had last year, and like you said, this the overall defense, it's very hard to say that he was on the hot seat. I mean, I always go back to like Perry Fuel. he was here 5 years. If he wasn't on the hot seat after year three, I mean, I don't think any defensive coordinator is ever going to be on a hot seat right away. So,
right. So he's far from that. Far from that.
Yeah. Sean Tomlinson. Oh, this is actually a good question. Do you think the Knicks will pursue Durant this offseason? I'll hang up and listen. Listen, I don't usually entertain basketball questions, and I'll get into this in a couple weeks. But I have an in the NBA, and I've been sure of something all along for a year now, and I don't think it's going to happen now. So, I mean, and this is the point where I'm talking.
I was talking
to Carl Banks about it. Like, knowing that Banks, one of my childhood idols, is a Knicks fan. I'm like a little girl with a boy band telling Carl Banks, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. And now it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And a lot of it has to do with Durant's Achilles injury. So I will get into that in a couple weeks. So great question. Funny story behind it. Probably my best in, and I'm still wrong. So there you go,
maybe,
guys.
Maybe.
Well, according to the person I know, Chris, it's the Nets. So,
well, that's not good because the person you know is very reliable.
Maybe the most reliable you can get.
Can't get any more reliable than that guy. So,
and this is a teaser. I will relinquish this information in a few weeks. So,
right. As far as Durant, I think the Knicks are still going to go for him. Yeah.
I hope they do. Would be nice. Let's see.
Shows you how stupid the Knicks are. Go ahead.
Ryan Williams. We answered this one last week, but I'm so... Oh, you know what? No, I'll go with this. This is fine. Ryan Williams at Ryan Williams 84. If the Giants start off 0-2 and Eli plays poorly, do they make the move to Jones to try and turn things around and salvage the season before it's too late? Or are we really going to wait until they virtually eliminated to see DJ? The answer is somewhere in between 0-2 and elimination, I think. I don't think it's 0-2.
Yeah.
But I also think it will not be if they're 0-6. You won't be waiting that long. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I agree. I think two games is a little too fast.
Frankie the Tank at RomoCop 74. Guys, I'm not an iPhone user. I get your pod on Google Play. My question is, if I rate you, will you ever see it? Frankie, I don't know, man, but thank you, buddy. Tell your friends who have iPhones to go to iTunes and rate it. I have no idea, pal. I'm sorry.
Don't ask me. You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah. Here's a good one. Here's a really good one, like kind of historical question. Cody Kaiser at Cody Kaiser. Rank these Giants wide receivers. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Plax, Hakeem Nicks, Sterling Shepard, Victor Cruz, Amani Toomer, Mario Manningham.
Wow.
Poof. I know who I put first.
Victor Cruz, right?
Plax.
Yeah, I think so too, man.
Barely, but he goes first.
Plax. Oh, man, it's tough, Jake, because Cruz had a good run there, man.
Yeah, you know that what? You know what, though? I love Cruz, but he was still the number two.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to not put Nicks too. Even though they were both like, you know, kind of shooting stars kind of thing where they got hurt. I would go Plax, Nicks.
How about Toomer?
Yeah, then Toomer. Yeah, you know what? Here we go. See, it's hard because in the short time he played, Nicks was dominating. Toomer was never a dominating receiver. He was very good, but he wasn't dominating.
He was
a 1A, right? He got better when Plax got there, right? He was good with Hilliard, but he wasn't. Yeah. He wasn't. So, all right, here we go. I'm going to say Plax, Nicks, Toomer, Cruz, Manningham, Shepard.
Wow.
That's tough.
Yeah, Plax. That's tough, man. Cruz had three of those good years. You know what? Toomer was good. Decent, like you said, he was good over a long, like a period of time, but never dominating, you know?
Yeah.
Knicks had some good years. I'm going to go with Plax. Yeah, I like that too. I like Plax. Wow, that's tough. I'm going to go Plax and Knicks and Cruz.
Yeah.
And who am I missing there?
There's Toomer, Shepard, and Manningham. Shepard
and then Toomer. Manningham and I'm gonna go to him. Did Manningham really? I mean, he had
the big catch. He had a good. He had a good catch. 900 yards, a couple of years, right? 800 yards.
Yeah, Shep's here 3 years. Never really dominated. Had good years.
It's unfair to Shepard because he's got to play in a pro game.
Yeah, So, all right, let's go through the top three there. I guess I'm going to go with Plax, Knicks, and Cruz.
And by the way, it was hard for me to put Cruz fourth because, I mean, not to get too personal, but at my father's wake, there was a toss-up in our family as to which jersey to display on the table. Y.A. Tittle or a Victor Cruz? He liked Cruz that much. So I definitely have a soft spot for Victor Cruz. So it was a little hard to put him fourth, to be honest with you. So.
Okay. That's why we talk about honesty here. Go ahead.
That's right, buddy. Mike Holdner at M. Holdner. Are you concerned that both tackles on the O-line aren't getting reps to build chemistry? You answer this because you always say, like, they're not in pads yet.
We got to get these guys, Solder's going to be over there, although it affects the whole line. Don't get me wrong. Each piece affects the whole line. But Solder has played a whole season with Hernandez. So I'm not really worried about Solder. Now, Remmers is a different story. Okay. Yeah, Remmers is really full, if he falls behind in camp, that is going to be a concern.
Yeah.
You know, getting in sync with Zeitler and Jalapio or Pulley, whoever wins that job. So, yeah, that's going to be a concern if Remmers is not ready to go in camp, beginning of camp.
Yeah, I just want, if Solder shows up towards the beginning of camp, I'm okay. But, yeah, man, you got to have chemistry in these O-lines. Like, it's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about building chemistry, and we need Solder there sooner than later. And to your point, Chris, about Remmers, yeah, if he's not where he needs to be, then it's a concern.
It's going to be Wheeler.
Yep.
Yeah.
Zach Mahoney, buddy, we answered this last week about
Jerry, quickly.
Yeah.
Can I just say something quick before we get to the next question?
Yeah.
Honestly, who I wish wins this job is Big George.
Oh, yeah,
right? He's a mammoth kid.
Yeah.
Not saying he could
forget about him.
Not saying he can't, not saying he's going to be an NFL starter. I'm just, because he's huge. I'm just saying he's a mammoth kid and he plays with a nastiness. I hope he wins this job. I'm not saying he is. I don't think he will. I just hope he does, buddy.
Yeah, me too.
Wait till you see this kid, Jerry. He is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And he went against Josh Allen, so hopefully that helped him. And it'd be great to have a rookie that you drafted late to end up being your starting right tackle.
Has to help.
Yeah. AFC G-Men at AFC G-Men. I know it's early, but where do you rank the Giants relative to the rest of the league? Your podcasts are optimistic, and it's getting me excited for the new season. But how realistic / likely are the playoffs? # buffoon crew. What do you think, Chris?
If the offensive line plays well, that's a big if, right?
Yep.
And gives Eli the time he needs, and Eli plays well, which he should if he has the time, right? If he is able to do some things, I think the Giants have a very good chance of being a wild card team. I really do. I think defense is going to be improved. I think they have a shot at being a wild card team. Of course, there's some big ifs there.
I would say putting a number on it, I give them a 40% chance of being a wild card team, which is better than it's been in late past year. So,
Jerry, 3-13 is not 40%.
I've changed, Chris.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, I forgot about that.
I was very happy with this draft. I keep telling you.
I'm only breaking your chops.
No, you should. I deserve it. Absolutely. Break him. Break him away. I always mess your name up. And he's a buffoon crew member. Patel. I'm just going to say the Patel USA. With multiple wide receivers and tight end options to spread out the ball, what do you think will happen to Saquon? Saquon. <Nah. laughs> To Saquon's passing numbers. I can't stop laughing at that. Will it increase compared to 18 or decrease as more options are available? # buffoon crew. Thanks, bud. What do you think? Is passing numbers going
up? Well, I hope the numbers decrease.
Yeah.
I don't want Saquon catching 91 balls. About 58 of them were checkdowns.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not forget that. It was Eli with 1,000 checkdowns on Saquon.
Chris,
I don't want to see that.
Chris, Lisa's listening. They weren't checkdowns.
Sorry, Lisa.
They were
strategic
screen passes.
Right. I'm sorry, Lisa. I'll buy you a nice hero at World Crown. She knows what I'm talking about. So I don't want to see him catching 91 balls. Don't get me wrong, 70 balls. The more the ball is in the kid's hands is better, but you don't want to see him catching 91 balls. All right, you do want to see it spread around more. So I think it will be decreased this season. I do.
Yeah, I agree. I hope it is. And you don't want him catching the ball too much. It's almost like you don't want him to have as many touches as last year. You want him to have his yardage to go up, but his touches to go down. So I think the goal would be less balls in the passing game.
Jerry, you know what's key in this? I've talked about this before. Evan Ingram's health.
Yeah, you're right.
It's going to be key, bud. If this kid is healthy for 16 games, there is so many things they want to do with him. Sherman wants to do with him, Jerry.
Yep.
He's going to be used in a lot of different ways. So you have to hope Evan, who's hurt already, right? He hurt his hamstring. He said he's going to be good to go for the camp. We'll see. You know, his health is going to be key, man. This offense, you know, with him and a healthy Ingram, is going to be pretty decent, I think. You know, I know a lot of people think, oh, what are you going to do with Odell? But I'm telling you, watch this Ingram kid. But he has to stay healthy, bud.
Yep. Not going to answer the question because we covered it already. But Luis Justiniano, Brazilian buffoon here. Thanks for listening, man. That's awesome. He asked about Connolly, so we covered that. Pin at BPin 1582. Oh, Chris, this is right up your alley, buddy. I'm a huge Notre Dame fan. How is Julian Love doing? I was so happy the Giants drafted him, but I haven't heard a lot about him as camp is going on. Any news?
He's finished. The OTA is very, very strong. Very strong. And he seems to be a kid that got off to a little slow start. He was with the threes, and he moved his way up to the twos, and he had some nice breakups in the last few OTAs, had an interception, and he played well. So it was a positive sign to see him finish strong. Look forward to seeing him in training camp. You should look forward to. He is a Notre Dame kid, so you know the kid is a respectful, hardworking kid, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it goes without saying.
I think Justin Tuck will agree with me on that one.
Justin Tuck. Oh, all the Bavaro, Dick Lynch from heaven. Absolutely. All the Golden Domers, buddy.
Yeah. So, hey, Jerry, just quickly, did you see how I was breaking Jumbo Elliott's chops on Twitter about his Michigan guy, Harbaugh?
Yeah, that was hilarious. I couldn't believe it.
I had to do it, but sorry, Harbaugh's still crying about 2011. So I had to remind Jumbo about how much he's still crying about that game.
Yeah, but it's funny. Like these colleges, it's funny with these athletes. It seems like they're almost sometimes, I would say, more loyal to the college than the pro teams, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, no doubt. Yep.
I mean, I don't know if Banks is. I think if you said the Banks, Michigan State Giants, I think it's a toss-up. But Jumbo was like, oh, no, Michigan, all Michigan. So I can't believe we shoot the crap with Jumbo Elliott, right? Like, that's hilarious.
And he was liking it, so he wasn't arguing me about it. He was just, like, surprised. He was, really? He's still crying about that? Oh, yeah, Johnny is.
couple more. Austrian Giant, thanks for the shout-out. Appreciate that, man. Thanks for listening. Here we go. This is for me. Will Aloha. I don't know his last name. I'm sorry, buddy. Heading to Nashville for a long weekend. Any recommendations? Where'd you go to escape the rain when you left the draft early? Hashtag Buffoon Crew. I went back to the hotel to sulk like a little baby. Yes, I would say the Whiskey Kitchen is an excellent place to go. There's also the that main strip is a lot of it's almost like a Times Square, so it's cool to be there, but the restaurants there aren't where people in Nashville go. Whiskey Kitchen's good, and there's a place called Arnold that's almost cafeteria style. It's ridiculous. So I would say those two, Will. And I ran home in the rain, I just sat in my room and basically cried. I want to get to a couple more good ones. Oh, here we go. Frank Ciotto, your boy. For Jerry, LT's first number with the Giants. Oh, come on, Frank. It's 98. Give me a break. Don't try me. For Chris, what happens in baseball when the ump determines there's a tie on a play at first base? I'm kidding, Chris. Who are your favorite all-time Giants?
What was that, Jay? What happens in baseball? What?
When there is a tie. When there's a tie on a play at first base. I'm kidding, Chris. Kidding.
Oh my. Okay.
I don't know. Was there a play with the Red Sox?
I have no idea why you even asked that. I have no idea. Man, I don't know.
I like how Frank breaks your stones. It's pretty funny.
Oh, okay. Just remember that, Frank. Just remember that.
Who are your all-time? All right, so Chris, this one's to you. Who are your all-time?
Same guy?
Yeah, he's asking like three questions, but he's
what
funny.
What was he asking? 15 questions?
But he's funny. I like. He's your relative. Hang on.
Okay, go ahead.
Who are your all-time favorite Giants to cover? One offense and one on defense. That's a good question. Go ahead.
Defense, Mike Thomas, absolute gentleman.
Yeah.
Actually became a pretty good friend of mine, a really good dude. I like him a lot. On offense, Sterling Shep.
Yeah. I was going to say, Shep is, if you didn't name him.
Yeah. Shep is a really good dude. He actually talks personal stuff with you too, family stuff. off and anything like that. Not afraid, you know, if he kind of trusts you, he has no problem talking about things in his family and stuff like that. So, yeah, Shep's a really good guy. We like him a lot, man. So, yeah, those two right now.
We have time for two more. I'm going to give Big Blue VCR a shout-out because that guy puts out more old clips than anybody. It's like a dream looking. He's almost like – he's been – for me, he's almost like Back After This, where if Back After This keeps putting out Francesca's Stupidity, this guy keeps putting out old Giant games all the time. So it's excellent. He's an excellent follow. At Big Blue VCR, we all know Saquon is a three-down back, but the Giants have had a history of some great third-down backs. Galbraith, oh, man, moment of silence. Meggett, Tiki at first. Do you see Perkins or anyone on this roster playing that role? Great question. I think that's what they would like, but the problem is Saquon's so good that you really can't take him out, right? Chris, what do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like third and two. Are you really going to take Saquon out and put in Perkins?
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
So
yeah. Now Saquon, he's not going anywhere. So only time he comes out, he needs a blow, you know, to give him a series off, you know. That's it.
Oh, wow. That was Michael Serra who asked the Lauletta Tanny question. So, buddy, we covered that early on. Let me see. I'm trying to find one more good one. Mike Ilegio, who has not chimed in a while, so I'm going to read his. First time, long time. Nice. Do you guys have some under-the-radar underdog players in mind that you'd like to see have a breakout year for the G-Men? Don't know why, but I'm really rooting for Corey Coleman and some others. I'll hang up and listen. Hashtag buffoon crew. I got one.
Yeah.
Benny Fowler. It just would not shock me. I don't care. Everybody can laugh. It just would not shock me if he got like 600-700 yards this year as like the fourth receiver.
I tell you what, man, if that happens, that would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be unbelievable. For breakout year, Saquon. I don't really see anybody. I'm hoping Coleman, Jerry.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm hoping Coleman is that legit third, and he has a very good year, you know, for Eli or, you know. So that's what I'm thinking. I'm hoping him.
One more. Back of the Blue at NJ Resistance. It's a great name. You guys have raved about the Zeitler trade. It was great, but how much of that value did the Browns sent this way? How much of that? Okay. Basically, did the Browns send Zeitler over as an attempt to prime the pump for the Beckham deal? Very good question. Not worded the best way, Back the Blue, but excellent question. Also glad to hear you got another sponsor. My son's outgrow hoodies at a blistering pace. Hashtag hoodie crew. Nice. Well done, Back the Blue. Do we think that the Zeitler trade was done by the Browns in order for them, that the Giants might deal with them on the Beckham deal?
Well, I tell you what, they didn't want to give up Zeitler. Gettleman insisted on that. He had to be part of the trade. And the Browns, it wasn't like the Browns said, okay, listen, we'll give you Zeitler and so-and-so. Oh, Duffo, you know, no. Gettleman, you know, wanted Zeitler. Browns at first said, try to work him another guy. Gettleman insisted on Zeitler. And of course, we all know what happened. The deal worked out. So, they're saying the Browns, hey, you know, we wanted the Austin Corbett kid in and we want to work them in, so there's no big deal. But Gettleman insisted on Kevin Zeitler, and he got his man, you know, so.
So I'll go one more because it's a good question. I don't know how to pronounce his name. H-E-I-N-E, Heine, I don't know, Heine Peterson. Hey, guys, which sports bar in Manhattan has the most buffoons, parentheses, real Giant fans on a regular basis? And is the best place to eat and drink during Sunday. Yeah, dude, Manhattan, zero. They're all going to plays. It stinks.
There's a good Giants bar on the east side, Jerry.
Which one?
The East End Bar and Grill.
Okay, there you go. I would go to North Jersey if I'm going to a Giants bar. That's all.
Well, he exits by Manhattan, right?
I know, but I'm saying that it's a path ride over or a ferry ride.
All I could think of is that maybe the dude likes to go to Manhattan. I don't know. Maybe he's looking for something.
Again, I jumped the gun.
That's what I could think of. Maybe he wants to be in Manhattan. I don't know, whatever. But if, you know, I'm pretty sure it's still there. I know it has a reputation for being a Giants bar on Sundays. The East End Bar and Grill over by First, and I think it's 86, 87, 88, something right around there. I'm sure it's still a Giants bar. So if you're ever in Manhattan, look it up. You know, Jerry, these Manhattan bars, they have like all different teams have a bar, you know?
I know. That's what I mean. That's why
it's wild, right?
I get sick over it. You can tell by my response.
Why do you get sick over that?
Because it's stupid. Like I walk down the street, there's a Chiefs bar. Oh, okay, cool. The Chiefs are here. Awesome.
Great. Oh, God.
But there is a great bar by the name of Foley's. That's cool.
Yeah, Foley's too.
A lot of memorabilia, and I actually buy my socks.
And you own it, right? Don't you own part of it?
I buy my socks there because they say Foley's on them. I never lose them. So there's that. There's that, buddy. Great job, everyone. I love these questions.
But Foley's is still there, right, Jerry?
Oh, yeah, it's
still
awesome. A big... Yeah, it's got the old-time, like PJ Clark's got the old urinal. With the ice in it. So the shirt says I melted the
ice.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, they still got the Marty Brodeur jersey up in there?
They have everything, Chris. I don't really pay attention to the Devil's gear.
Oh, that's okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to ask that.
It's okay. It's fine. Anything else, pal? This was a fun one. They're all fun, but this was fun.
Isn't Jersey people supposed to be Devil fans? You are a Jersey guy.
They are.
You're not a New York guy, so.
No, but when you can't stick a team in the middle of New York and Philly and then be like, okay, everybody root for them now, so. You know, my old man was Rangers, and they brought the Devils in 1980. So it was like, well, they were the Colorado Rockies, right? So then, yeah, I was Rangers, unfortunately. It's the only team, it's the most painful team of mine to root for, by far.
What do you mean?
It's a tough.
They bring you the most pain?
Yeah, it's a tough go being a Ranger fan.
Why? You've been in the playoffs a lot. You had the one cup 25 years
ago. One cup 25 years ago. Yeah, thanks, Chris. It's very tough to... Even when you get there and you just know that you're relying on one guy to get it done and it's just not going to happen. Easily my most painful team that I root for.
You guys are rebuilding. So, you know, you're trying to do, you know what? Davison's a good hockey man. You got him over there now. Back. So, yeah, I think you guys would be all right down the road.
Anything else, pal?
No, that's it. That's it, bud. Enjoy your weekend, man. Everybody enjoy your weekend, and we'll be back next week.
All right, everybody. If you want to order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com or go to magzter.com for a digital sub. That's MAGZTER. Also, download the app, Giant Insider, from the App Store. As always, great job, buddy. And remember, everybody, Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.